In a world of voices, in a world of voices, there is only one that truly matters. It's not my voice, the voice of your pastor or any pastor that will tide you over. It's not the voice on Google. It's not the voice as you listen to automated tapes or recordings. It's not the voice of the internet preacher. It's not the voice of the blogger. It's only the voice of God that will sustain you. It is only the voice of God that will empower you and enable you to be who He created you to be. What voice is speaking, and are you listening? Now, that's not what that slide says. The slide says God is speaking. Are you listening? My challenge again to you is that you would hone those listening skills and that you would define whose voice it is that you are hearing. And that you would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you hear God's voice. In this world, we have the luxury of selective hearing. Check this out. I get blamed all the time for being a selective hearer. Now, it's not a switch that I actually flip on or off. I actually would attribute it to the different tones or the different voice or the different volumes. And so it's not actually something that I intentionally do. But I have, just like you, the capability of being a selective listener. You have the capability of turning off one voice and on another. You have the capability of being selective in what you want to hear. More now than ever before, I'll start watching something on TV, and when it goes awry, I turn it off. Why? Because I can be selective as to what I want to come in and feed and nourish and sustain this person. And I don't want a lot of garbage coming in. I want the voice of God. I can literally make a choice to say, I am going to flip the switch. Can we go back to that last one? I am going to flip the switch to listen when it comes to God, and when the other voices in this world try and lure me away, flip it to ignore. Now, this next slide that you already got a glimpse of is each and every one of us listen differently. That's why I love being able to see you. Some people are intent. Some people like eye contact the whole time. Other people doodle. Other people close their eyes. Other people process in different ways. I remember as a young pastor, I was invited to go and speak, and I believe that it was in New York. I forget the exact place now. I believe it was New York. And I got to go and speak, and it was kind of one of those old-fashioned revival services. And I went, and I began to speak, and there was a teenage girl that sat in the second row back, right in the middle. Like, how can you avoid not seeing what's happening? And that girl had a piece of paper on a pad, and she was doodling. And she did more drawing and erasing and flicking the pencil dust and the eraser dust off of the paper. And it was just like, what in the world is she doing? Then I remember another time where there was a man in the service that every time I looked at him, just like I'm looking at you, there was eye contact. And I'm like, he is absolutely on track. He is following me. He knows exactly what I'm saying. He knows when to... I'm preaching to that guy. Both stories. the girl who was doodling in the second row, doing all of this, the entire sermon, came up to me after and asked me to autograph the picture that she had drawn of me with the entire backdrop in context with the message that I had preached. Did I feel like an idiot? I'm glad I didn't say to her, "Don't do that." The man who continued to make eye contact the entire message came up to me after the service and said, I apologize. There's been so much going on in my life. My mind was elsewhere. I don't think I heard a single word you said. People and how they listen and how they process may not always be the same. You will not hear the voice of God the exact same way that I hear it. You need to be able to hone in, and whatever your style is, I like this picture because, you know, what is your style? The only way that you'll find your style is to be intentional about saying, God, I need to hear your voice. Help me to find that place, that location, that posture, which enables me to eliminate all the other voices and flip that switch to ignore and focus on you. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. That, for me, this emphasis of listening to and hearing God's voice in 2018, it's not specifically designed for you. You're a bystander as God speaks to your pastor. It's designed for me. There's been, Pastor Joe and I spent a lot of time together in the travels over this Christmas holiday and just decompressing and talking things over. And in that conversation, there's been some amazing things that God has done, we believe, in the life of our congregation. But I said to Joe this, all of these great things that have happened, have you prayed over them? Have I prayed over them? Now, I pray in general, but a lot of the things that God is doing, we just take for granted, like, this is what he wants, so this is what we're going to do. Instead of saying, God, what is your plan? Help me to understand. Help me to listen. Let's hear God speak. There's one absolute sure way for you to hear God speak. That's in the Word. Let's hear God speak. If you have your Bible, you can open to the book of Acts, the first chapter, verses 1 through 7. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can follow along on the screen. But these are not my words. You might hear my voice. You might hear my emphasis. You might hear my mistakes. You might hear a mispronunciation. You might hear all of that. But these are not my words. These are true and eternal. These are God's words. Listen to what God has to say. This is authored by what is commonly understood to be Luke, who wrote the book of Acts. And he writes this beginning in verse 1. In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to all these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was still alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem. But wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Now, next week, we're going to carry on. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the power, and it's going to be an exciting, I'm already excited for it. But there are four things that we want to look at out of this text. There are four things that Jesus did specifically that required listening, required attention. The very first one was this. He gave them instruction. Now, I'm not going to talk about all that. If you're a note taker and you like all these, I mean, you can find this stuff online too. But Jesus literally gave instruction. Depending on what version you read, the NIV says he commanded them. He gave them directives. And God still gives directive. He still gives instruction. So why should you listen for the voice of God? Number one, you should listen for the voice of God because he will give instruction. He will give guidance. I talked down at memory care, and it's funny. There's all different ages down there, and you would think that it wouldn't really resonate with that culture, but I talked about life coaching and how that's everywhere, and people all over the world are paying good dollars to have a life coach and somebody online telling you what to do, what to wear, what to say, how to say it, what to eat. My daughter's on this diet that she gets online, and they tell her exactly what you can eat, and you put your food in, and it tells you exactly how to stay on track, and all of this. Life coaching is monstrous in the world. Why? Because we need instruction. We need help. We need guidance. Why should you listen for the whisper of an almighty God? Just like the disciples, just like those that heard him in the day, the 40 days after he rose from the grave, they needed instruction. I need instruction. You need instruction. We need instruction. And there is no better place to get instruction than from the voice of God, than from the very Spirit of God who created us, who whispers in our ear, no, yes, maybe. Here's the big one. You know I still love you, don't you? I think in the world that we live in today, because we try so desperately to look holy, we try so desperately to appear righteous, and sometimes we understand that there's only one righteous. That Spirit dwells in us the Holy Spirit dwells in us and we're righteous through him. But we need, you need, I need someone to whisper in my ear, you know, I still love you. That's what Pastor Joe was broken about when she talked about forgiveness. Hearing somebody say, you know, I still love you. Jesus came. He gave instruction to those disciples. The next thing is that he made it real. I alluded to this in my prayer a while ago. We live in this realm of Christianity where we want to tell people who we are. I mean, we're devout Christians. We want to tell people who we are. But this is exactly what I told Pastor Joe as we were driving in, and she got to hear me rehearsing the sermon this morning before you get to hear it. I said, as a pastor, as any pastor, you have to understand this. You have to get a grip on this absolute fact. The people you serve will hear you the loudest, not by what you say, but who you are. I want to hear God's word so that I can become more and more like him, more of who he's called me to be. Not so that I get glory, so that his presence can be seen. So that his presence can be seen. He can make it real. Now, some people would take making it real, interpreting it, meaning like, oh, just be yourself and just do whatever. And, you know, there's no law against this and there's no, you know, there's nothing. Let me tell you what. The message of Jesus Christ is real. It comes with power. From the very beginning to the very end, it talks about the power to change your life. When I use the term or the phrase, make it real, I mean live according to the power of God's Holy Spirit so that his light radiates from you, so that people go, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you stay away from that. I don't know how you remain pure and true and holy. I don't know how you do that. And you can go, I do. And it's not me. It's Jesus living in me. Jesus made it real. In those 40 days, Scripture is very specific that he came to the disciples. He came to the believers. He came to those who were following him, and he made himself real. It goes on to say that he had community with them. And one time as he sat down to eat with them, now, if Jesus walked in here and said, hey, I want to go down to the Northgate Mall after, and we're all going to get together, and that's a noisy place. But Jesus says, hey, I'm going to go down there with you, and we all follow him down there. You can be assured that we are going to do everything that we can to listen to him while we were in community with him. Do we understand at a spiritual level, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit that God promised us, that Jesus said, after I ascend into the heavens, I will send, wait here in Jerusalem, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. That Spirit of God means that you have communion with him, which automatically carries this responsibility at the noisy table. Even at Northgate Mall, you got to lean in and listen. I'm not so good at that. I'm a fixer by nature. So as I talk to people, as people are unloading or sharing their story and they're telling me what's going on in their life, my brain has a tendency to automatically go into what advice can I give you that will fix it? What my daughters will call and say, hey, Dad, my dryer's doing this, and what kind of noise is it making? And they're talking, and they're trying to describe it, but I'm trying to picture it, and I'm not really there. I'm trying to fix it. When issues happen in my spiritual life, when issues happen in your spiritual life, most generally we go into fix-it mode. How can I fix it? How can I find more time to pray? How can I find more time to read my Bible? How can I get to service more often? How can I get fed more? Instead of saying, God, I need to hear your voice. I need instruction. I need you to make yourself real to me. I need for you to have communion with me. And we're going to do that corporately in just a few minutes. We are going to celebrate Jesus together. But he wants to speak to us. And even in the loudest moments, he wants to have an intimacy with you that causes... I don't know, I didn't plan on this, but that lean in phrase, it just tickles me. I'm just like, wow, I can't believe I actually said that, because that really keeps, and it was not in my notes anywhere. But now I'm like, oh, every day I want to pray, God, help me to lean in and listen to your voice in community as he makes himself real. And the last point, number four, was he challenged them. Now think about this. He's talking about eternity. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming. He's talking about the glories of a New Testament church that we find in the book of Acts. And again, I'm so excited just to be diving into the book of Acts and to be talking about the New Testament church. But here's what happened. Do you think they were really listening to him? In the same passage, while he's talking about eternity and the Holy Spirit coming and setting up residence in their lives, they say, oh, by the way, is this the time that you're going to establish your earthly kingdom? Is this the time? Now, where do they get that? Where does that come from? He's talking about the Spirit of God coming. He's talking about when he's not with them anymore. He's talking about what happens at the end of the 40 days. And they, because of their preconceived voice, read into it. Well, if he's leaving, when's he coming back to establish a kingdom? That's been my biggest challenge. As I was preparing this and looking forward to hearing God's voice, I'll be honest, it kind of scares me. But here's where I am. God, I want to hear your voice beyond my preconceived ideas. God, I want to hear your voice beyond my religious training. God, I want to hear you beyond my experience and my experiences. I want to hear you beyond my own voice. I want to hear you. I want to know you. And as our slide shows, the only way, if we can go back to that last one, the only way that we can grow, now I'll admit, I pulled it off the internet, off of Google. It's all I could find, but it's not what I like. No, it says I like. No, I don't. But it says I like. No, I don't. It might say you like. No, you don't. We don't like being challenged. We don't like being challenged with a challenge that challenges us to the point. I'm not talking about a board game or something non-essential. I'm talking about being challenged in your own life to the point of uncomfortability. Because that is the only way that you'll grow. That's the only way that we'll grow, is to be pushed to the limit. And even though our slide says I like it, none of us do. But I promise you this, and I want to end with this thought. When you allow the whispers of God to take you to the very edge, he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And he will always strengthen you. I promise you, hindsight will be 20/20. It may not look good now, but I promise you, hindsight as you walk with God is 20/20. Better than that. 2015. God wants to be there for you. Would you trust him? Would you lean in?